So we're doing the laws of Shabbat, and we were discussing the laws of cooking. And we had discussed the medium in which we're cooking, meaning we discussed Kli Rishon, a vessel that the liquid was heated in on the fire, Kli Sheni, vessel it was poured into, Kli Shlishi, another vessel it was poured into. And we discussed the medium that's being cooked, whether it's dry or wet, whether we're talking about reheating soup, or we're talking about reheating roast, or reheating a kugel. We discussed that with liquid, there's more room to understand that every time you heat it, it's as though you cook it. And we discussed that there's a difference between something that's fully cooked and added heat will not do anything in the cooking process, as opposed to something which is not fully cooked, or something fully cooked, but if it'll get heated more, it'll become tastier, such as we said, potato kugel, as it dries, it gets tastier. And we also discussed the medium of heat. And we said that cooking on fire is biblically prohibited, and cooking on anything that was heated by fire is biblically prohibited, right? We discussed that cooking in the sun is permitted, cooking in a medium that was heated by the sun is rabbinically prohibited. And we gave examples, you remember? Like on a hot desert floor, that floor was heated by the sun, so that would be rabbinically prohibited. That's called toldot hachama, a derivative of the sun. Now, what do we mean when we speak about fire, that we say it's biblically prohibited? So that would include a gas fire. That would include an electric fire, an electric stovetop, a plata. That would include if you have a steam cooker. All these things make no difference. And it doesn't matter if you see the flame or you don't see the flame. Sometimes you have an oven where the flame is covered. Sometimes you have a stovetop where you don't see the flame, where you don't see the heat element. It doesn't matter in this regard. If one were to cook on any of these heat sources, it is biblically prohibited. We will see that there's a question of reheating food, doing it in a manner where I am not cooking biblically or rabbinically, and there we enter a realm where it interests us, is the fire visible or not. But when we deal with the biblical prohibition of cooking, there it doesn't interest us if you see the fire or don't see the fire. If it is the heat of a fire, or the what we would call an electric fire, the heat of electricity, from our perspective, it's all the same. So far, so good? Okay. We said that when we discuss cooking a liquid, then cooking is defined by bringing it to the point where the hand would pull back, and we quoted temperatures. When it comes to something dry, we discussed ma'achal ben derusai, that bandit that would eat his food when it was cooked a third, and we said that would already constitute the biblical prohibition of cooking, but if you cook it some more, then it's still within the biblical prohibition because it's not fully cooked. Clear? Okay. Anything that is not fully cooked, if you put it in a kli rishon, if you put it in a vessel that was itself on a fire, that was itself on a source of heat, then it doesn't matter if it is wet or dry, that would be a biblical prohibition. Even if that kli rishon is not on the fire, so long as it is still hot, so long as it is still yatzo ledispo. So that means, let's say I want to make tea. I'm going through the woods, and I see some dandelion flowers that I picked yesterday in my yard of dandelion flowers. I pick them up, and I say, I wonder what tea out of these dandelion flowers would taste like. So I have a kettle of water sitting on the plata from before Shabbos. I take it off the plata. That kettle is a kli rishon, right? It is the first vessel. When I dump in the dandelion flowers so that their flavor gets absorbed into the water, I am cooking. That is a biblical prohibition. Were I to pour the water from the kettle into another cup, I'm dealing with a kli sheni. Technically, we assume that a kli sheni ordinarily does not cook. But there are exceptions, and we are uncertain as to what those exceptions are. Those exceptions are called kalei bishul, things that cook easily. And being that we're uncertain what they are, so we don't put anything into kli sheni unless we are certain that it is not kalei bishul. So we would pour it from the chinek into a cup, and from that cup into another cup. That doesn't have to be a cup. You could pour it from one tea kettle to another tea kettle to a third tea kettle. You could pour it from tea kettle into a thermos into another tea kettle. Doesn't matter. Once it has gone to a third vessel, that's a kli shlishi. Some are of the opinion they have to be careful with the kli shlishi. I have the tradition that in a kli shlishi, you have nothing to worry about. You can do whatever you want. So when you guys come to my house, I make you coffee or tea. So you have to know, some of the tea bags are pre-cooked. If they're pre-cooked, so they've already been cooked. You have to verify whether there's any capacity to cook them some more. Coffee, as far as I know, is pre-cooked. The coffee you have. I'm not talking about fresh coffee beans. But
stuff upstairs.
Stuff upstairs. So that we will discuss as we go along. Okay. Everything we just mentioned, we'll discuss in greater detail. We're just beginning with the general picture, and we'll add details as we go along. Okay. So we said anything that was not fully cooked, even if it's hot, when you put it into kli rishon, we're entering the biblical arena of bishul. Right? Next. Let's say you have something, a liquid, that was cooked. You have a liquid that was heated. You have water. And then it cooled off. You put water into a cup. You want to make yourself a cup of tea. You forgot about it. 5 minutes later, you come to the room. It's already cooled down. Stick your finger inside. And you say, ah, this is pleasantly warm. This is not Yad Soledes Bo. I don't pull my hand back from this. I want a hotter cup of tea than that. So you go to the tea kettle sitting on the fire. And you think, let me pour it back in. Right? If I were to put cold water into that tea kettle sitting on the fire, that would be a biblical prohibition. I'm taking a liquid that was already cooked and is still warm, has not cooled off from its being cooked. It is not Yad Soledes Bo, but it hasn't cooled off completely. So then, us Ashkenazim hold, we do not enter the arena of the biblical prohibition of Bishul because it is still slightly warm, and there will even be instances where it is permitted to put it back in. What those instances are, we will learn in greater detail as we go on. But as far as the definitions, we Ashkenazim hold that even in a dovar lach, even something that is liquid, ein bishul achal bishul, once it's been cooked once, there's no cooking it again. We are stringent in that we say, well, if it cooled off completely, we treat it as though there is bishul achal bishul, but we treat it as such. It is a stringency. Technically, we hold that once it's been cooked once, the second time isn't cooking. We don't permit it unless it is still warm. And even then, with many other details, we will learn as we go along. So far, so good? Okay. You guys should have a question. I want you to synthesize what we learned today. And there should be a contradiction in what we just said a little bit, or at least something that's unclear. And I feel like too much information. Think about it, and then tomorrow we're going to pick up here. You guys have to think a little bit. Why is no one taking notes here?
Yeah, I